Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. Everyone have their notes? If you don't, raise your hand real quick. Should have it by now. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James. James chapter 1. I'm going to read some verses as introduction to get a general feel for the importance of reaching people. And this introduction is nothing new. We all know that people are important, that God gives value to people. He made us in His image, and God wants to use us, and He sends us out to reach other people. Nothing in this world is eternal except the Word of God and the souls of men. And James chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading in verse 22 and read through 25. Then I'm going to skip. You can see it on your paper. There's some references there. I'm not going to read all of them, but here in James 1 and 2. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And the subject I'm going to deal with tonight, that Pastor asked me to deal with, is how we can be more effective in welcoming visitors. In fact, the young people are going to be talking about that as well, in how they can use their class and their activities to welcome visitors better. One of the things we as a church need to do is make sure that people don't walk in here and walk out without them knowing that we really care about them. I mean, it's tough enough to go out into the world and bring people in, right? I mean, to get somebody to bring them to church nowadays, that's pretty tough. But when somebody just walks in and then we don't meet them, we don't greet them, we don't welcome them, we don't talk to them, and they walk out and don't want to come back here, we just lost a jewel of an opportunity because they came here. They came to us. And we want, Pastor wants, all of us want, you want, we want to be effective in reaching people. And if we're not effective in reaching people, then we're just, what, pew warmers? Hearers of the word and not doers only? So we need to be doers. So that's my subject tonight. Let me go to chapter 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Let me just say a word there. With respect of persons. I mean, there's people that walk in here that don't look like I look. They don't look like you do. They don't, men that walk in without a tie. So, Bob doesn't have a tie on tonight either. We still might talk to him, maybe. people don't have to look like we look. They don't have to look like they're a Christian. In fact, I really prefer when they come in not looking like a Christian personally. I mean, I'm serious. Because as soon as I see someone that, and they might be Christians, they're just not dressed like Stanley Heights people. It's like, I want to know who they are right away. Because I see that person as, are they lost? Are they backslidden? Or are they faithful as can be, but they're looking for a church? Did they just move into the neighborhood? Into town? I mean, I'm right on top of that. I mean, I have an easier job witnessing to somebody who has tattoos and leather jacket on than people who look like, oh, they're probably a good Christian. And don't we judge by our outward appearance a lot anyway, all of us? But normally what happens is we'll talk to people who look like a Christian, but not to the people who look like they're not. And it says that God is not a respecter of persons, and we shouldn't be either. Going on there in verses 8 through 10, If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of all. And I'm not going to read the other texts that are there, but I am going to talk a little bit about my introduction before praying. All through the scripture, the law is filled with verses. And I put just a couple passages there. How that God wants his people to take care of the poor, to take care of widows, to take care of the fatherless, of orphans. How God wants us to take care of strangers, foreigners. I mean, Israel had a responsibility to those people. And Israel today still takes care of those people. And unfortunately, we as a church don't do enough because we are respecters of person far too much. And we hate to admit that, but I mean, people have walked in Stanley Heights and walked out with only one or two people talking to them. And sometimes it was just the pastor. So, we need to reach people. And when people are coming to us, that's one of my main points tonight. When people are coming to us, we need to do all we can when they're here to make them feel like they're really welcome and we really care about them. Okay, so I want you to look at our five core values up there. Look at that fourth one. Can you see it, LeBron? Good. Read it for me. The fourth one. Relational. What's it say? Oh, you can't see that. All right. Bob, can you see it? Yeah, that could be a little bit bigger for some of us, right? I guess, Emily, you're having a hard time reading that too already? That's bad. It's bad. Man, you're married an old woman. There are certain people you can say that to and other people you don't say that to. I'm not surprised. With Emily, I am not surprised. So one of the core values of our church is to be that we desire a relationship with God and with other people. If we don't have a relationship with God, we probably won't have good relationships with other people. And I should have left the word probably out, right, brother? Because that's a definite. If you don't have a right relationship with God, and that's not my subject tonight, so I can't stick on that one, but I'd love to. You are not going to have the right relationships with people. But to have the right relationships with people starts with the right relationship with God. And when we do, we will be interested in other people. And if we're not interested in other people, we have to ask ourselves, what's going on in my life that I'm not even reaching visitors who come to us in the church. So what I'm talking about actually has to do with that fourth core value of our church, at least the second part of it, the relationships with other people. You and I have a responsibility. Why does Pastor hand this out every Sunday? Why does he hold it up and ask for visitors and have Tom Hill and Justin and Jordan walk down? I think that's so cool to have the three of them do that. His father and two sons. Isn't that neat when you see that happening? And they walk up and they're looking, who's a visitor, who's a visitor? Well, there's a reason we do this. It's not just to give them cookies. It's because we want them to know who we are, and that, more important of who we are, that we care about them. And this is to get their address, their phone number, their email, whatever, so that we can take them cookies. But the whole idea of taking them cookies is so we can begin a relationship, Lord willing, with them that we can build on. Okay, so I'm going to approach this from, and I've got a long introduction to get to where I really need to go down further on the second and third page. But there's two major areas that affect our ministry in the local church. So, let's see here. I need three guys. There's two on that row. If there's two guys on that row, would you come up here, please? And if you're not a guy, don't come. And Austin, I need you too, please. Okay? So, one of you come over here. Yeah. All right. So, Austin, he's going to be our visitor. Hey, come up here just a little bit. Okay, so we want to reach Austin. Austin comes in. You don't know Austin. He's mean as a bulldog. I mean, just look at him. No, don't smile. Don't smile. I said don't smile. You're not helping my illustration. I'm teasing. So, I should have done that with him. No, he could have done it. Yeah. So anyway, so we want to reach him. Because we don't know him yet. He walked in cold turkey. You didn't invite him. And we're going to say in this case that he's not with someone else that we know sitting at church with him. Well, there's two things, and I'm going to use two people to help us understand how we can reach Austin. Number one, and we're going to say a man of spiritual maturity. Wait a minute. A man of spiritual maturity. Because it's going to take someone with spiritual maturity to say, I care. And to go and have a conversation and open up that conversation. Now, we're not talking about you have to be a courageous, bold, big Christian type that's, you know, very vocal like Bob or me or something like that. No, you don't have to be like that. You just have to care. You have to be spiritually mature to say, I'm growing in my relationship with God. That's what makes you mature. And I'm going after that man. He's here in our church. I will not let him go out without talking to him. So in your notes, you'll see there I have spiritual maturity. I've got several things there that I don't plan on reading them all. You can see them, but your spiritual maturity affects your perspectives on life. And so his maturity is going to affect his perspective about our visitor here. His goals, his objectives, his attitudes, his conversations, everything is affected by spiritual maturity, right? The more mature you are, the more mature you're going to act. The more mature and secure you are in your relationship with God, and the more secure you feel because of your maturity and your relationship and identity with Christ, that you need to go to people because they need Christ. Now, is he saved or not saved? How do you know? You didn't talk to him yet.
No, that's true.
He doesn't, yeah. He's not sure how. I didn't tell him how to answer. So without talking to him, he doesn't know if he's saved. He doesn't know if he's a backslidden Christian. Maybe he's a prodigal son of somebody who just walked in and has come to the end of his rope and finally saying, I need God. And he's looking. I mean, Matthew doesn't know until he talks to him. And then again, maybe he's just come from another church that's had real problems. And I'm thinking of a church in Chattanooga that's about ready to have a big split. They've already had a couple people splinter off. And it looks like several others are going to leave. Where are they going to go? Well, what if they show up here? Is anybody going to talk to them? Your spiritual maturity should be enough to move you to get off your pew up here or over there to go to that visitor, whoever it is, and at least find out who they are and tell them how glad you are they're here. And I've got some practical steps of what you can do with visitors in the church, but we'll get to that in a little while. So, your spiritual maturity even affects the way you welcome visitors to church. Because if you're not spiritually mature, you're probably not going to welcome visitors. Because you haven't grown in your relationship with God enough and secure enough in that relationship with Him and care enough about the things that God cares about that you would actually go talk to Him and find out who He is. The second thing, now we come to you. The second thing is your spiritual gift. So when Pastor asked me to teach this class, I said, one of the best ways I could do this is try to invoke their interest in spiritual gifts and how that works in relating to other people. And he says, go for it. He says, that's a great idea. So he knows I'm doing this. Your spiritual gift affects the way you serve Christ in the church in general and outside the church. It affects it. Now, you may not even know what your gift is, but I guarantee you it affects it even if you don't know. Now, if you do know what your spiritual gift is and you're positive about what it is and how that works, then I am sure that you're being really effective in your Christian life, because when you know what it is and know what that means, you cannot help but be effective in your ministry for Christ. So, when you know your spiritual gift, it's going to affect your desire to serve in the church in different ways, which, if he knows, it's like, I've got a desire to reach him based on my spiritual gift, which I'm going to get into here shortly. Let me look at this clock, see how fast this thing's going. All right, I'm good. It will affect his personal effectiveness and his perspective of the needs that you and I have in the church, but it's also going to affect his spiritual gifts, going to affect what's his need and how am I going to help him. Because, be honest, when you go to church for the first time in your life, or you go to a new church, if you're not saved, if you're backslidden, you're going because there's something going on in your life, right? There are some needs there that the Holy Spirit of God is, and you don't know that it's the Holy Spirit of God. A lot of people out there don't. They just know they don't have peace. They know there's something missing. There's a God-sized void in their lives that they've got to fill. And they've already tried alcohol. They've already tried men or women. They've already tried drugs. They've already tried a lot of stuff. And now they show up at a church. We had a lady like that in Brazil. Her life was a mess. And every day she was on a bus. She'd go by our church. And one day she just got off on a Wednesday night like this one. Got off the bus, walked over to the church and came in. We got the leader of the Lord that next week. And for years, her family and family members have been being saved and serving. And it's been wonderful to see. But it was because she had a need. And because she had a need, she came in. Because she had a need, we met her. We went to talk to her there that night and then later. And God worked in her life that way. I mean, that's the way it usually is. Okay, so let me ask these questions that are down on close to the end of second paragraph from the bottom of page one. Do you have a spiritual gift? Answer, yes. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? I don't know if you do or not. Do you want to use your spiritual gift in the church? And are you waiting for someone to ask you to do something in order to use your spiritual gift? But what I'm talking about tonight, welcoming visitors, you don't necessarily even need to know what your spiritual gift is to welcome a visitor. And you don't have to have a special invitation from the pastor to teach a class or teach in the auditorium or join the choir or anything. You can have a ministry to visitors without anybody inviting you to do it. I mean, there's not a time frame except when you're in church, before the service starts and when it's over. And then if you can follow up on that afterwards. All right, so spiritual maturity, we're going to reach somebody who's a new person in church. Spiritual gift, we're going to go and find out what his spiritual need is, because we want to see that that need is met. And I'll be talking about that. In fact, right now I'm going to get into it, but you guys can sit down for now. I may call you back. Maybe. All right, so this is still introductory. All people have needs of different kinds at different times of their lives. Do you have needs? You and I still have needs. Now, they're not always as big as they used to be. And sometimes there's a whole lot more than they've ever been. Because sometimes we have physical needs, don't we? Sometimes we have emotional needs, don't we? Now, none of us have emotional needs. We're Christians. We're all stable, right? Our life is like this. No ups, no downs, right? No, I know she's got emotional needs. She's got kids. Everybody has needs. Now, here are the seven needs that are represented in every church, everywhere in the world. And you'll not find another one. These are the needs. And any other psychological or social or whatever needs that you might think of all fit into one of these seven areas. And interesting enough, in these seven areas, the Holy Spirit has equipped the body of Christ with seven spiritual gifts that are found in Romans chapter 12. We're not going to turn there tonight. This is not my subject. But there are emotional needs. When somebody walks in that door, some of those people come in with real emotional needs. There are spiritual purity needs or needs for righteousness. They're dealing with guilt. They're dealing with sin in their life. And they're looking for some answer. They walk in that door. They don't know what they're looking for, but some of them walk in with real spiritual needs because of the sin and the guilt they're dealing with. And they need help. Other people have come in because they just need physical help. They don't know where to go. They need help of some kind. It might just be food, but they need help. In fact, we have a sign on our door over there on this part of the church because we want to help people. And we've got men who have volunteered and been, trained to deal with people when they come in. And what needs to be said, what questions need to be asked, so we're not being taken advantage of. But we can really deal with real needs, physical needs that people have, because some of them are serious, genuine needs, and others are just trying to pull our leg. But there are people with physical needs. There are people who come in with administrative needs. Let me just put it this way. I got to move on. Their life is a mess. They don't know which way is up. And they need somebody to help them put the pieces back together. And then there are those who come in with financial and material needs. Others come in with needs. They're looking for truth. Looking for truth. They've looked in all the wrong places. And they're still seeking. And the body of Christ has been equipped with people specifically to meet each one of these needs. And the last one on here is number 7, a spiritual growth need. Spiritual growth need. We have a man named George who's been coming for about a month now. And as soon as he came into our Sunday school class, actually the very first week I didn't get to see him because he left the Sunday school class and I didn't see him again. But the second week he was here, I was on it. Because when I see a visitor, I don't let them get out of here without at least me talking to them. And a lot of times I will take them to see the pastor. I'll go visit them myself. But George has been coming, and he had been attending another church here in town, a big one that where doctrine was weak and there was nothing personal. And he was there for a little while and he felt like there's no relationships here. Nothing's going on. He found us. And the way he found us was by one of the door hangers that we left just a few weeks ago when people were out canvassing and just dropping them. In fact, there's been 2 people attending our church recently because of those. Anyway, okay, so all people have needs. Next page. All visitors have needs of different kinds. And I actually just went through this part of it instead of the part before, because the first section basically says all people have needs. This section says all visitors have needs. And I want you to realize when people walk into our church, they're not just walking in without a reason. They have a need. And it's up to you and me to meet that need, obviously, through the Holy Spirit and with God's help. But God uses people, okay? So when they enter the door, they have these needs. Now, I'm going to go quickly through the middle of page 2. Spiritual gifts are focused on meeting specific needs in the body of Christ. Mercies, those who have the gift of mercy. Now, let me say, this is an overview because I can spend 3 hours giving details about each one of these. So don't take this one little definition here and walk out and say, oh, well, I've got that gift because of that. You may not. But anyway, I'm trying to give an overview to get to where I want to go. If you have the gift of mercy in here, and God, the Holy Spirit, has given you the gift of mercy, when that person walks in the door, then your job is to touch them, to love them, to care for them, and to meet their emotional needs. And if you have the gift of mercy, you'll know if they have an emotional need, because the Holy Spirit will let you know. Number 2, the gift of prophecy, Romans 12:6. Those have a vision and a discernment for turning sinners to Christ and challenging Christians to repent and get right with God. So if somebody walks in and they're a visitor and they are not right with God, they're not saved, and you have the gift of prophecy and you don't go see them and you don't get to find out what their need is and why they came to our church, I dare say that you're probably sinning against God. Because if they walked in here and they need to be saved, those who have the gift of prophecy are going to be the very first ones that should be there to say, let me help you, let me show you the way. Even though we all should be searching for souls, those with the gift of prophecy have a specific antenna that's geared towards looking for sinners who need Christ, looking for backsliders who need to get right, and sit down and just show it to them and tell them now's the day of salvation. And have a vision and a discernment for that. And if you don't do it, who's supposed to do it? Someone else comes in, and a person with the gift of teaching needs to be right on top of that to find out if they are looking to grow in the Word, to learn the Word. Are they wanting to know truth? Do they want to study it? And if you have the gift of teaching, that person walking in is a candidate for you to sit down and teach the Scriptures to. But if you don't welcome them and they walk out and go looking for truth somewhere else, You that have the gift of teaching, you just missed the great opportunity. Gift of serving. They are the people that have the humility and responsibility to serve the church, serve the people in a multitude of visible physical ways. If that person comes in and they have physical needs, if you have the gift of mercy, you need to know that. But if you don't converse with them, you'll never find out. If you don't sit down with them and talk, you will not know. If you have the gift of giving, and givers have the resourcefulness and generosity to see how both their personal investments and our church investments can be used wisely. But if you as a giver with this gift don't talk to the visitor, and that visitor has a material or a financial need that the church needs to help with, and you don't go talk to them, you're missing an opportunity to use your gift. Ruling. They have the initiative and administrative ability to delegate responsibilities and gather resources for achieving organizational goals and growth. Like I said, I'm just barely scratching the surface with this, but I'm saying people come in with messed up lives. There's a lot of things they need. Some of them come in with physical needs, with emotional needs, with spiritual needs, with out of relationship with Jesus Christ, and they have tons of needs. And they need somebody who can sit down and sort that out and get different people in the church involved in their lives to make sure that those needs are met. And then those who have the gift of exhorting, those are the ones that have the wisdom and persuasiveness to see spiritual needs and motivate people to grow spiritually to new levels of maturity. Now, that's my gift. That's the gift I have, exhortation. And so George has been coming now for a month, and I've got him reading in the book of John. I've got him answering questions. We're going to go out this coming Sunday and go over some of the answers to some of his questions already. Because when I saw him as a visitor, I saw him as having a need. And I went after it. But that should not fall to just two or three of us. That's something we all need to be doing, going after visitors, seeing what needs they have. And if they have a need that falls under the category of your spiritual gift, you have an opportunity to use your spiritual gift. But if you never go talk to them about it, you never get to know them, you will never know why they came in and what their need is. And it might not be a need you can meet, but you could surely ask Brother Duncan or Pastor Buffman or Tom Hill or someone to come alongside and say, could you help us find out why these people are here and what their need is? Moving on. Spiritual gifts are focused on meeting specific needs of church visitors. Now, in this section, it's similar to what I just said, except it asks questions. And I put three questions down for each of these gifts. And yet I'm going to skip over those tonight, let you read those at home if you're interested. But my point in that so far is to say, every visitor that walks, did you find a mistake? Oh, good. Thank you for not finding a mistake. When a visitor walks in this door or that door or that door, they have needs. And usually it's not just one. And we are here as a body because we have been equipped as members of a body with a certain spiritual gift that we need to be using. And it includes people who walk in off the streets. All right, so go to page 4, please. Page 4. Let me just ask these questions at the top that are for everybody, no matter what spiritual gift you have. How will our visitors become an integral part of our church body if you pretend they aren't even there? Now, that's pretty direct. If you don't even go see them, you don't go welcome them. You act like, oh, we got a visitor. Okay, I wonder where they come from. And you just mosey on along and don't go to find out. How do you ever expect them to want to come back and have their spiritual needs met sitting under the preaching and worshiping together with us? How will our visitors begin to have a relationship with God, relational, right up there, core value? How will they have a relationship with God if you don't build a relationship with them first? I mean, sometimes when it comes to something like visitors, we do this. Oh, he'll do it. I mean, we've seen that before. That's pretty simple. But that's what we do. Oh, somebody else would do it. How do you know somebody else would do it? Every one of us needs to have our antenna tuned to visitors who walk in our doors because they have needs and you don't know what those are. And we have to find out. And we have to take the responsibility. You have to take the responsibility. Now, the chemistry of people walking in the door is different than my chemistry. There's going to be people walk in that door. I'm going to talk to them and we're going to get along like we've been friends for a long time. And other people come in that door and it's like, it just didn't click, brother. It just didn't click. But guess what? If 10 of us went and talked to that visitor, somebody else would probably click with them. And it really has to do with what the Holy Spirit wants to do in their lives. Because, listen, I don't know how many are sitting in here, but let's just say there's 22 of you. You're not all David Bennett's. No, don't say amen to that. We're not. We're not all Carlene Duncan's. And people walk in here, they might click with Matthew a whole lot easier than with me. But if they're going to click with me and I don't go see them, and they've got a need that I, with my spiritual gift, could help them with spiritually, and I miss that opportunity, I just wasted the gift the Holy Spirit's given me. Now, there's a question there with a check mark and then another question with two check marks. We'll finish with these things. Obviously, they're the last things on the pages. I'm good on time. So these are the really practical type things. Up until now, I've been exhorting you. I've been challenging you. I've been saying, wake up. Pay attention. Now let's be real specific. What to do when you see a visitor coming to church for the first time? You run. You hide. You don't want to see them because you don't want them to see you, because you're more concerned about yourself than you are about them. All right. Number one, sit down. And this is assuming that you see the visitor before the service, not after or 45 minutes into it. Sit down close to the visitor so that you can evaluate his understanding of our service. When I'm with a visitor, like Sunday, I was sitting with George right over there. I'm watching to see if he sings. I'm watching to see if he knows how to open a Bible. I'm watching to see what he knows or doesn't know, because I want to be able to help him with it. Two, make sure the visitor has a bulletin when he sits down in the pew. Excuse me. We have the bulletins out there, and sometimes, not very often, but once in a while, the person walks in and Mr. Duncan somehow missed giving that person a bulletin. Now, that doesn't happen very often, but we want to make sure they have that bulletin, and we want them to take it home. And number three, help the visitor to find a hymn in the hymn book. And if this is new to the visitor, even use your finger to help him follow along in the hymnal. And believe me, there's people like that. Just because you don't need somebody to point their finger at the hymnal with you, When we have visitors come in, once in a while there's people like that. They don't even know how to use a hymnal. And hopefully we'll be back using our hymnals here real soon. Number four, be available to answer questions that the visitor may have about the church. That means you've got to be there sitting close by. Or when the service is over, if you're not sitting with them, you can make your way over to them. And just tell them what your name is. Actually, I should have probably put that on here too. Tell them what your name is. Introduce yourself. And then tell them how glad you are they're here. But you need to be available to answer questions. Number five, briefly let him, know where the bathrooms are located. That was one of those times I was dictating my notes and my wife asked me a question. I said, yeah, and it dictated it and I missed it. It's like right there. Hey, honey. See what happens when you ask me questions I'm dictating? Yeah. Oh, yeah, I found it. I found it. Like, listen, just before I printed this off, there was a whole line and a half of some conversation I had with somebody. Like, woo, I almost printed that. Well, I did get in there. Okay, so these people, they come the first or second time to our church. Guess what? They don't even know where our bathrooms are. Now, chances are, if they're a man, half the time they're going to walk out and don't need the bathroom. Chances are, if they're a woman, Mrs. Duncan, you need to tell them where that restroom is. Because they need to know. And if they got little kids, they need to know too. I mean, that sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Help a visitor know where the restrooms are. And then the next one, I'll just stay in order. Number six, watch to make sure that the visitor gets a visitor card or packet when the deacons distribute them during the service. Do you know that sometimes, in spite of the fact that we have three men who walk the aisle with these things looking for visitors, there are some visitors that won't raise their hand? You've seen that. I've seen it. Some will not raise their hands. That's okay. Sometimes. It's okay if you and I are doing our job and we saw that they didn't raise their hand. And so after church, we can make sure that we can get one and go talk to them personally. But if they don't get one and you don't do anything and they walk out with us without us having an email or an address or phone number, if I'm a pastor, it's like, we failed, brother, we failed. There's a person who needs Christ or needs some spiritual help in some way. And when they got out of our church without us even getting a name and a phone number. Number seven, make sure the visitor has filled out the visitor's card appropriately with needed information. I have gotten cards where they didn't put certain information. And I said, oh, by the way, we forgot to get your phone number. What was that? That really helps. If we want to call and make an appointment with them, it helps to have that. And if you could check, you may not have the opportunity to check if they take this and they put it in a box for the offering. But sometimes they don't. And if you take it to them and they fill it out right there, you can check and make sure. Number nine, accompany the visitor to the welcome desk in the foyer of the church to get his gift. You hear every Sunday, pastor talks about, we have a gift for you at the welcome center in the foyer, right? You know how many people actually walk out without their gifts? I don't have a number, but the percentage is not good. Because some are too embarrassed. They're a visitor. They're going to walk up to the welcome center and say, hey, you got a gift for me? That's why sometime back, and I don't know how exactly this all works now, but we had people in this section and that section and this section and that section and this section and that section and this section and that section who were responsible to make sure visitors got back there to get their gift. But if you're there doing your job, you can make sure, you can take them back there and say, listen, we got something for you. Oh, by the way, did you fill out your card? We just want to make sure that we got that information, because we do, like the pastor said, we do want to send you a thank you, and we're going to come by with some cookies, homemade cookies for you too. Number 10, help visitors who have children to find their Sunday school classes or to find the nursery. If they walk in and they've got a kid or two, you better be on that. If you're not on that, shame, 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 shame. Some of you remember that. You remember that? You never saw that in classroom? Oh, okay. After the service is over, introduce the visitor to several other members of the church. Introduce them to someone else. According to the age and gender of the visitor, I mean, if it's a 72-year-old man, don't go introduce him to Matt. Matt, like, what am I going to do with a 72-year-old man? According to the age and gender of the visitor's children. If they've got little children, find someone else who has little children. If they have little girls, you bring her to her. Because if they have little girls, I'm taking them to her. No, I don't think I've ever done that, because I've never had that opportunity with a family come in with little girls that I was the first one on to deal with that. But if that happens next Sunday and somebody walks in with little girls and I'm standing back there, I know where I'm going with them, because I want them to come together on like ground. Oh, you got girls? I got girls. Oh, you got a 4-year-old? Well, I got a 3.5-year-old. I want to make a connection. And if it's a couple with kids in college, I want to take them to Ty and Karen, because they'll identify with that. Number 12, after the service is over, take the visitor to meet one of the pastors personally. I've done this several times here. It's just something that I'm going to do. I want them to meet our pastor. And once in a while it doesn't work because he's talking to somebody and they don't want to wait that long, but usually it works. And then the last thing, what can I do besides welcoming visitors into our church? Whoops. Okay, what can I do besides welcoming them in the church? Number one, be the one to take cookies to them. If you met them, you talk to them. If there's any way you can ask Mrs. Boffman or whoever's in charge of the cookie connection, could I take the cookies to them? And I've done that too. I've gone there and said, listen, I want to take the cookies to this family because I want to be the one to visit them. Like, I'm not going to give this one to Mr. Duncan. No, I'm going to do this one. He can do another one another time, but this one's for me. 2, make a second visit to the home of the visitor. If you take the cookies, you know why we do the cookie connection? We don't even plan on going into their home. We just plan to go and drop off cookies. You know why? So we can go a second time. Because if they know we bring cookies the first time, they're not going to expect us to bite them the second time. Because some people are afraid of visitors. And we're trying to build a relationship. Sit with the visitor in church the next time he shows up. So the next time he's there, hey, you're right on that. Even if you have to move chairs.
Oh.
Because what's more important, where you sit or getting that visitor? Number 4, make sure the visitor has a bulletin when he sits down in the pew. 5, give the visitor a pew Bible if he did not bring a Bible with him. You know what a pew Bible is? It's not a stinking book. It's a Bible that we have in our pews for people who don't bring Bibles. And I want my visitor to be looking in a Bible. And when I give it to him, I also learn, do they not carry a Bible? Does he know where to open it up? Does he know what? What do you do with this thing? Do they know how to find Exodus? Do they know how to find Acts? It tells me something about them. But I want them to be opening a Bible. And I want them to put their eyes on the verse. So if I have to, I open up for them. I don't want them going out of here without having read Scripture. Number 6, help the visitor find the passages in the Scriptures. Number 7, invite the visitor to go with you to Sunday school class if he comes in early enough, or next week. I don't know how many people have come to our church, and I try to be the first one to see if anybody else has invited them to their Sunday school class. And I've brought in a bunch of people to our Sunday school class who I didn't bring to church. Somebody else, somehow they got here, but they ended up in my Sunday school class. And you need to get them into your Sunday school class, if it's the right age, all of that. Number 8, invite the visitor out to a restaurant for coffee or for a meal. I wanted to take George out this last Sunday, but he already had commitments all day long for Sunday afternoon, even Sunday night. But here's what I did. I said, oh, no problem, don't worry about it. He was a little concerned that I would be upset that he wasn't going to go out to eat with me. I said, no, George, it's fine, no problem. It's not a problem at all. We'll do it next Sunday. He says, yeah, Sunday after church, in the morning, afternoon, either one, whatever you want to do. I said, okay, great. I said, let's do it after the evening service. You know why I did that? Because he was already going to come to the morning service. But he hasn't been to an evening service yet. So I invited him to come Sunday night, and he says he's going to come. And then we're going to go out to eat together afterwards. It'll be his first Sunday night here. Because I invited him out for Sunday night to eat with us. And number 9, invite the visitor to your home for a meal. Now, I haven't had George at my home for a meal yet. But I did take him to the Chattanooga Rescue Mission with me at Christmas time. And he helped me serve meals. He helped us cut. What were we cutting? We were cutting tags off of backpacks. He was working. He was serving with me at the Chattanooga Rescue Mission. And I'd only known him like 2 weeks. Because he came and showed up here on his own. Because somebody left a door hanger on his door. Now, welcoming visitors, making sure they come back and doing everything we can to get them back is not the job of Pastor Boffman. That's not why you give your tithes and offerings for him to do that. That is your job. That is my job. I care about God and my relationship with God, and I care about my relationship with people, and I care about their relationship with God too. And we all should. We all should. All right. Do we have, are they doing the prayer things? I don't think so. Okay. So, you have as much time as you want to pray. And if you don't have time to pray here, you can go home and pray. But let's serve God. Let's love people. Let's go after people. Don't let anyone get out of here without you knowing them and them knowing you, at least your name, and that you're glad to see them. And see what we can do to keep them here and get them involved in loving God and serving God in a body like we have. Brother LeBron, would you raise your voice and pray for us, please, sir?
You'll help us.
Amen. If you want to stay and pray a little bit, feel free to do so. If not, you're free to go get your kids or whatever. Thank you very much.